This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. We began the week asking whether the Indian variant would derail the roadmap to ending lockdown. But now things look a bit brighter. And Fraser, in your Telegraph column, you say that the Prime Minister is quite keen to press ahead, but we shouldn't take it as a given yet. Why is that?
Well, there has been a quite distinct change of moods. Boris Johnson, as we all know, is an optimist. That pretty much was his political philosophy. And this went all very well until COVID came along. And then he came to regret his optimism. He regretted not locking down earlier. And then by the end of last year, it began to look like anything that could go wrong with COVID did go wrong, especially in Britain, that ended up with the longest lockdown, one of the worst recessions, the highest economic damage, and one of the highest COVID death tolls. But right now, all of that has flipped. Britain is now leading the world, certainly the G7 and the EU. There is no country with higher vaccination levels, no country with lower levels of COVID, and there's now lots of grounds for rational optimism. So Boris Johnson is now feeling a little bit more confident in his optimism, which is why we saw what we did this week. So we had the usual routine here. It's the kind of, you can call it the new variant dance, if you like, where a new variant comes along, then Sage will go and analyse the potentials, and then the most scary statistic will get flung out, in this case 50% more transmissible. Usually it's not too long before the papers come out and we find out, but actually the truth is somewhere behind it. Now, we had a situation where Michael Gove was actually arguing for more restrictions on the back of this, and we had the usual suspects of anonymous briefings saying that, yes, Boris Johnson is going to have to delay his 21st of June reopening. That was on Monday. But by Tuesday, some hospital data came through from Bolton that made him more confident that it wasn't the threat we originally envisaged. And by Wednesday, the Prime Minister was telling Tory MPs in this private meeting that he's more confident than ever that his roadmap would be met. So you've got, for the first time, him kind of really shrugging off the pessimism of his scientific advisers. And almost, not quite unilaterally, but almost declaring, no, we are going to stick to this roadmap. But we have got quite a lot of data backing him up now. For example, yesterday we found out that two doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine give you 90% protection against symptomatic infection. That's as high as Pfizer. Now, that is such an incredibly good figure, which comes in the line of all the other incredibly good figures. We've got deaths 99% below their peak. The only other country in the world to be able to say that is Israel, which, by no coincidence, is the only other country which is vaccinated as much as we do. So I think there is grounds for his optimism, and I think we can now see an optimism bias take place in the government, replacing the pessimism bias, which has probably reigned from April last year.
And James, is a differing factor this time, as Fraser touched on, the fact that Boris Johnson has always been keen to, I suppose, push ahead, be a bit resistant to lockdown, but this time there's data that is more in his favour than perhaps those on the dovish, cautious side?
Yeah, so I think the crucial point is the Public Health England data yesterday shows that the Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine is more effective than the trials suggested at 89% after two doses. Pfizer's 90% after two doses. The UK, Fraser mentioned Israel, the UK is going to overtake Israel soon, as we point out in the leader this week, because the public here is so keen to take the vaccine. We are looking at kind of 90% take-up. I don't think there is anyone who thinks that if you got 90% take-up among adults, you wouldn't hit the herd immunity, population immunity, whatever phrase you want to use, threshold.
It's worth saying, by the way, that 90% is way in the figures which they started this campaign with. They thought they'd be lucky if 80% would take it. So to actually see figures of 90, even 95 in some places, is off the scale.
Yeah, every age bracket over the age of 50, it's 90% plus people have taken it. And I think what is causing particular encouragement in government is that, first of all, as they drop down the age brackets, now I think anyone over 34 can book, people are still overloading the booking system trying to book. And there are still some of the people they've missed in the over 50s group coming back to get vaccinated. So I think that is a pretty solid basis on which to plan your reopening. So far, Bolton, you know, I think there are 30 people in hospital in Bolton now. And at the moment, it does look like the vaccines have broken the link between cases and hospitalizations. And I think one of the important things to note is the government's reaction to Bolton and the fact they haven't imposed a local lockdown there suggests that the government is moving more in the direction of saying hospitalizations are the most important thing. So they're moving away from this idea of what one might call low circulation COVID, which was kind of a slightly modified form of zero COVID. It wasn't aiming for total elimination, but it basically said you've got to keep the virus circulation at a very, very low level. They're moving away from that. And I mean, that if you move away from that, that gives you a bit more flex in terms of reopening. There is a lot of confidence in government they will hit the 21st of June. And I mean, there is a growing confidence, as Boris Johnson said to 22 on Wednesday night, that they might also be able to significantly ease up some of the social distancing restrictions on that day too.
Fraser, there was always a hope they would ease up some of the social distancing restrictions on June 21st, wasn't there? Should we be feeling as though we're being treated if that happens?
I think the direction of travel is really important. And what James just said there, I think is absolutely crucial. The question here is, what is the government's strategy? They haven't said, by the way, because they haven't decided. Like, is it the case that we're aiming to have COVID cases as low as possible? Now, if that is the case, then there's all sorts of restrictions you put in place. You put social distancing, you would have more restrictions, high travel restrictions, probably. But if you simply wanted to say that we don't want the NHS to be overwhelmed, that was the original test, that means you would tolerate the circulation of COVID along with several other pathogens in the country, which might make people sick, it might take them off work for a few days, but it would not put them in hospital. If the government is prepared to tolerate COVID circulating in that way, and if its test is a hospital test, then that means that we certainly will be hitting the 21st of June target, and there might not be that many restrictions afterwards. Because remember, there's two questions, main questions, that will come after the 21st of June. One is travel restrictions. Will we be opening up to the world, or will we instead try to be a kind of born-again Australia, thinking that we've vaccinated against the known strains, but the rest of the big bad world might have more strains that we want to try to shut ourselves away from? And the other is vaccine passports / identity cards. Like, will the government be requiring them for any domestic situation? I hope not, but as I understand it, the Prime Minister is pretty much resigned to accepting ID cards for mass events like theatre and football, and also things like lateral flow tests from nightclubs.
And James, I suppose just on cases, has the government ever really set out that it wanted a low-case strategy? Because they told us a bit about circulation, but there have been strong briefings. We were told, you know, limits of cases a day that then number 10 distance themselves from. So are we perhaps seeing a shift in strategy for something we were never told was a strategy in the first place?
I think the government's COVID strategy has been remarkably opaque, because there are different factions in the government with different views on what the test should be. And I think that Boris Johnson, as is his wont on lots of policy questions, you know, he does move from one position to the other. I think the significance of no local lockdown in Bolton is that he is moving more towards the position of saying that hospital pressure is the test, and away from the idea that COVID circulating in any number of cases increases the risk of mutations, and therefore would increase the risk of a vaccine-evading variant emerging and sending everything back to square one. I also think another encouraging thing is that the World Health Organization saying that all vaccines work on all variants. Again, you know, never say never, but I mean, that is an encouraging sign that the emergence of a vaccine-evading variant is obviously not impossible, but the likelihood of that happening does seem to be receding somewhat.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Fraser. And thank you for listening.